What is up? It is me, George G. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way, featuring Andrew Rosen. He is a CFP, a CEP. He is the president, partner, and lifelong financial advisor at Diversified LLC. He is a Forbes and Kiplinger's contributor, helping people achieve lifelong wealth and happiness. We had an awesome conversation that started with two truths and a lie. We talked about Andrew's love and passion for Bruce Springsteen, for growing a financial services business, and the challenges of scaling a financial firm, the choice of keeping something a lifestyle business or growing it and continuing to pursue growth, how to put your faith into other people, how to have systems and structure that make you attractive to not only clients, but also other financial firms and financial advisors, what it means to be a visionary versus somebody who is in the trenches executing, and why you must trust your gut. And finally, a powerful difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Andrew, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Ooh, I like it, George. Two truths and a lie. One, I am deathly afraid of flying. Two, I love Bruce Springsteen. He's my favorite artist ever. And three, at age 43, I can still do a killer cartwheel.
These are excellent, Andrew, because I know a small amount about you, and they're all close enough to be very, very, very believable. So, oh my goodness, I don't think you're a Springsteen fan.
Oh, you're killing me, George. He's as good as it gets. He is. I'm a Jersey boy. That's all you needed to know. I'm a Jersey boy. Yes. No, I flying's no big deal. Give me a flight. I'll hop on it. I don't care. Two wings, whatever you have.
But no cartwheels for you.
Oh, I can cartwheel with the best of them.
Oh, which one was the lie?
No, I have no fear of flying.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. No. You should see. My cartwheel game is on point.
Okay. That's awesome. And I need to take a minute and just sing Thunder Road on my own and do a penance, because I also love Bruce Springsteen. So I apologize to you and to Bruce Springsteen and everybody else out there for thinking that you did not love him the most. I'm sorry, Andrew.
Band, it will have to take it under consideration.
Yeah, I'm flying out.
I'm seeing him this summer. So
I'm gonna go to the Stone Pony and just make my trek and penance and everything else. You're gonna see him this summer. Where at?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Okay.
Philly.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a great show.
He's still pumping out some amazing new music. So all credit to the boss.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah, I bet he can do a cartwheel too, Andrew.
He's. I'll tell you, for 73 years old, the dude's in shape. I can promise you that. I mean, God willing, we all look that good.
Man, he and Mick Jagger should do. They should have some kind of a program teaching you how to age well.
That's right. Well, I guess it's easy. Step one, be worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm. Step two, be rocking on the road 300 days a year, right? Step three, have a whole cadre of people that can help keep you fit.
The book writes itself.
That's exactly right. Easy as pie. There's the formula. All right, podcast over. We gave you all
that. That's a lot of value.
That's it. What else can I share?
Well, I guess we'll give it a shot, man. What is top of mind for you right now?
We're in growth mode, George. So we look at our business and we reference like innings, you know, where we've advanced to the fourth inning, if you will. I mean, I don't know what the ninth inning looks like, but you know what, when you get there. And to us, we have built a great infrastructure. We have a great top executive team. So we have great leaders, great people under there, amazing staff. amazing clients. And so now we're just poised and preparing, which we've been doing, to just put fodder on that foundation and just to grow sort of always organic, inorganic. And so that's been a lot of my focus is how do we take that next leap as a firm.
And it is obvious to be a well-aging rock star. Is it obvious how you grow a financial firm?
No, right? I don't think it is, because the cool thing about this industry, this business, is I've seen people grow massive businesses dozens of different ways, just organic, just inorganic, their own systems, purchasing other. There's a lot of ways. I think it stems from understanding what your unique abilities are as a firm, your unique offerings, and lean into it. Right. I mean, so maybe they came by accident. Maybe you happen to get in with executives and your or dentists or who knows what, and you just double down. So no, I don't think it is obvious. I mean, I think there's some core foundational principles that just run businesses, but I don't know that it's obvious how to get to that next hyper growth level. And I also think it's different that those words mean different things to different people.
Yeah, I totally agree. You use the term unique ability. Is that I've heard the coaching series from Dan Sullivan. Is that from
Strategic
Dan?
coach. I haven't gone to him, but I've read like every one of his books. You know, I think he would throw me out of class, so I don't want to. I have enough trauma from the first 20 years of my life of schooling that I hate to do that to myself or him. But yeah, it is. I think he's a genius.
And in terms of other programs or structure, I know a lot of people like EOS and EY and YPO, and I think that those are all the acronyms I have. Do
Yeah,
you?
A B C D E F G too. So I think, look, to me, we are our firm runs on traction, which is EOS, right? So we are certainly huge proponents. We were introduced to that maybe close to a decade ago already, and that is our guiding principle. That is how we run our business. Because candidly, George, what do I know about running a business? I didn't go to business school. I didn't train for it. I was a decent financial planner and grew it the right way and lucked into some things and had some good mentoring. And next thing you know, own a business and trying to figure out how to grow it. So to us, that really gave us some infrastructure and some guidance that we needed, at least.
Can you look back and say you saw a point in your career where you said, I do want to keep growing this versus this is great. I can just kind of keep this good thing going and have an awesome lifestyle versus hyper growth or whatever other term.
Yeah, absolutely would be the answer. Absolutely. So I would tell you that I always knew I wanted to grow something special, right? I don't have an end game that, oh, I want to sell it for this dollar or that dollar. I just believe we can build something special in the industry and we're well on our way. It was about 2018, 2019. So in our business, in the financial service business, right, there's a wall. Right, there's called capacity. So you could do things to extend your capacity. You know, I can hire more people and more assistants and more support. But inevitably, there's 24 hours in a day, there's 7 days a week, 12 months, 52, you know, weeks, so 365 days, you get it. You can only see so many people, you can only get to a certain point. And so I got to that point where I really to make my firm, our firm, you know, I have partners, as big as we believe it can be, you have to put faith in others. And the first big leap, which was a watershed moment for us, was hiring our CEO, Mike Fisher, who is about as awesome as they come, just as a human and as a talented executive and CEO for a company. And this goes back to sort of the traction days and understanding sort of integrator visionary. My role is visionary, and I'm not good at integrating. I don't get passion or joy or fulfillment out of it. And that's exactly what my CEO Mike dies, and so that was the moment. Do we stop here and just ride this thing, or do we double down, bring in an there was no benefit to bring in an executive like that if I just wanted to sit around and collect a paycheck and go spend 2 days work and set 5 days chilling, right? So that was the moment for us. And then there's been subsequent moments along the way, but that was to me, like I said, that watershed moment, that was the demarcation line where we said, once we cross this, pedal to the metal.
And how hard a decision was that?
I would tell you, so I have a couple partners, it was the easiest for me. It took some cajoling, it took some convincing, but they got in line pretty quickly. My role was really to the growth of the company, and that's the hat I wear along with being an advisor. But it's just a gut feeling, it's just a belief, and I've done well in my career trusting my gut and putting faith in great individuals. And so I figured successful people do things unsuccessful people don't do, and let's do it. I didn't see a lot of other firms. Certainly there are firms that do it, plenty of them, but we are not in the majority. The majority hit that capacity. You know how many times I've spoken or acquired a older advisors looking to retire and said, you know, at one point in my career, I thought about doing what you did. They all thought about it. It's crossed everyone's mind. That's not the hard thing, right? The hard thing is taking that leap of faith. There was no landing for me. It was unpredictable. And so but it worked out swimmingly. We've grown substantially since then. And I have to give Mike and the other executives we brought in after him all the credit.
That's awesome. And how long ago was that?
That was September 19th in 2019. So talk about an interesting time to bring someone on, yeah. Right? September 19th, everything's going swimmingly well. And 6 months later, we go remote, work on Zoom. We didn't know what a Zoom was for 2 straight years, and everyone goes remote, right? and is the end here, right? Did I do something so stupid and buyer's remorse? But no, it just was rocket ship.
And now 5 years later, see how I was able to do the math there, give or take, your other partners, they're happy with the decision as well.
I would imagine so. They've benefited tremendously and been valuable in it. You know, I can't take the credit or all the credit. They've been integral to this as well. But yeah, I mean, I think anyone in our firm would be crazy to look back and say bad decision. I mean, we are exponentially larger, exponentially more profitable, exponentially touching more lives and have a bigger, better firm with more value to our end clients. So there's virtually been no downside.
Yeah. So, which is obviously what you're looking for, all upside and very little downside. And so, panacea. So your growth, you're out there meeting with clients and taking on new clients, making it rain, for lack of a better term. And you also have adopted some kind of an acquisition strategy and brought on and bought other businesses?
Yep, absolutely. So 100% we've done exactly that. Yes, sort of the block and tackling, bringing on client by client, one by one. And we've also built an infrastructure that allows and can handle both acquisitions or merge in or partner track. So we've started really educating ourselves on how do you build. So we sort of shot first, asked questions later, right? We started acquiring, we said, oh, this is great. And it, you know, 1 + 1 = 3, but we didn't really, I'd be lying if I told you we really knew how to do it. And over the past year and a half, we worked with some coaches and some investment bankers to really educate us and get us aligned to how do you build that infrastructure to attract and be competitive in that space. And so that's what we've spent and I personally, with along with my CEO Mike, have spent a ton of time, you know, learning and studying and challenging so that we can get it right for us.
So when you say learning and attracting, it's a competitive market to acquire another firm, and how do we stand out? Or
all the above, right? It is insanely, I think there's 50 buyers for every seller. I mean, so, and a lot of these buyers, especially the serial ones, are substantially larger than us, with substantially bigger pocketbooks and substantially bigger financial backers behind them that can help them throw money around left and right. I mean, I still today underwrite everything myself. It's, you know, it's my name on those loans with my partners. It's not, you know, private equity or big bank or something of that nature. And so, yeah, so that's one element of it. And the other, to your point, is how do we figure out our unique abilities and what makes us unique, and how do we create a infrastructure? So we've recently reorganized so that if George came on board, he could earn partnership and get shares in the equity, right? I think the sort of stodgy old mentality is, it's my firm and no one's going to own any piece of it because that deludes me, and why would I do that? And it's sort of taking a 180 viewpoint where you look at it differently and say, okay, I see, to get to these levels, there are things you need to do, and here's the benefits of it. And that took learning for me and educating, like I said, challenging the status quo, which at first I wasn't comfortable with. And then I saw it and drank the Kool-Aid, and now we're adopting these things and these policies.
Have you always dealt with uncertainty well?
Oh, that's a good, cuts to the core of me, George. I need a tissue now. Have I always dealt with?
I mean, it certainly takes courage.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. I've never thought of it through that spectrum, but I do think, and good, bad, or indifferent, and I'm not suggesting this makes me any better or worse than anyone by any stretch, but I think I have been someone who has been the calm in the storm, right? I think I've, whether it was COVID or I lost my dad at, you know, in 2016, you know, at 61, like, I certainly, like, everyone's got their problems, but I think I've come out fairly unscathed and a better person through it all, and been a solid force for others during choppy times. And I guess it speaks to also this industry, right? I mean, I'm giving advice to people when markets are down 20-30%, you know, and they're looking at me as the bad guy, like I did something in some cases, right? And you have to remain calm, and you have to remain convicted to your beliefs and morals. And there's an element of just blind faith, right? And trust and belief. I mean, no one's seen God. A lot of people believe in God, right? So I think it's something similar. If you feel you've built something special and you believe in yourself or whatever you are believing in, I think it gives you that courage, that comfort to deal with adversity well.
Yeah. I was just spent some time yesterday thinking about just how to develop confidence and where it comes from, and that self-assuredness, belief in yourself. And it's all the things you've been talking about, and prove to yourself that you can handle things and you can see through tough times and all that stuff. So,
oh yeah. Well, look no further than, what was it? Stuart Smiley from Saturday Night Live, right? You're good enough. You're strong enough. And gosh darn it, George, people like you. Right. Sometimes it's all you need.
Sometimes that's all you need. And
you ever see the one where he had Michael Jordan on?
I was just thinking that, man.
And it's like, that was glad. I'm going to watch that when we hang up. Thanks.
Oh, 100%. Can you just Al Franken sitting like, what, 2 feet across from Michael Jordan with a straight face doing that live?
Yeah. Like, don't worry, Michael. It's you got this.
And he nailed it, man. Oh my gosh,
that's awesome.
I'm gonna go listen to Thunder Road and then watch Stuart Smalley talk to Michael Jordan.
That's right. Well, good. You have a great start of your day already.
Yeah,
Every day should start so wonderful.
I totally agree. I totally agree. All right, Andrew, we're ready. You've already given us a lot. We're ready for that difference-making tip, sir. What do you have for us?
I like to go back to something one of my mentors told me years ago, which is, and it's one of my belief systems, it's part of my ethos, is people don't care what you know until they know that you care. You can't fake this stuff, right? Authenticity shines through on all of us. And I think if you truly care about your vocation and the people you work with, the people you work for, that gravitate people gravitate to that. People want to be around that. And so that would be my difference-making tip. One of many I've heard and told, and I love that one. But we could sit here for an hour and a half. I could give you other great quotes because I'm a sucker for them. But there you go. There's my great tip.
I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
I like
People
it.
don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is true. That is, I don't know if that's ancient wisdom, Andrew, but it is certainly wisdom.
That's right. I mean, I guess I could, I'm telling you, I could just spitfire little tidbit quotes and we can have a cliche off, but there you go.
Well, I think that those are true. So, well, I appreciate you coming back on, Andrew. It's always great talking with you. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? And who should be reaching out?
Great question. So our website is always the best, diversifiedllc.com. You can pretty much get to our acquisition site there. You can get to our tax company. You can get to our planners, myself. Who should reach out? If you're a client or someone who needs financial guidance, golly gee, we'd love to help you. If you're in this business, whether looking to sell your business or partner or increase your growth and want to join something special, I think we have, we'd love to talk. And heck, just a nice person and want to catch up, I'm here too. I love people. I love helping and guiding. It's what I feel I was on this earth to do. So any way I can, please reach out.
I love it. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Andrew your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to diversifiedllc.com and check out everything that we've been talking about. Check out the growth that Andrew and his partners have been putting together. If you are interested in financial advice, planning, check it out. If you are an advisor and what Andrew's been talking about resonates, check it out. Reach out to him. And if you want to learn about how to do a great cartwheel or how to get over your fear of flying or what Andrew's favorite, what is your favorite Springsteen song, Andrew?
Oh, come on. He's my favorite child, George. I mean, Thunder Road just hits, right?
Yeah,
Like,
it does.
certainly hits. Well, you can't go wrong. Jungle Road, Thunder Road. I mean, any road, I guess. We don't have enough time. We could sit here, do quotes and Springsteen songs for the next 2 hours, and then you'd have no listeners. So I don't want to do that.
That'll be the next one.
That's right.
Well, thanks again, Andrew.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you, George.
And finally, a friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.